Lord, right now we receive all that you have for us. We pull on your presence. We pull on everything that you have for each of us. We pull on it by faith. We pull it into our spirit man. And we receive it. Today and tomorrow, we receive all that you have for every person that will come. We receive it for them, into them, in Jesus' name. You know, some things God has already begun to speak to you, but God keeps showing me this picture over and over again that things are bubbling up. And you know, sometimes when that first starts to happen, you're kind of like, what is that? What's he trying to say? But what I'm seeing is through these sessions, something is being raised up, and finally you're going to go, oh, that's what it is. And he's going to not only show it to you, this may not be everybody, but I see people really getting free, really moving into a new realm and leaving some things behind, okay? So if you may say, oh, I kind of got a piece of it, just hang on, because he has something that he's already laid out for every session. And this afternoon, Lori is going to come and bring something from the throne. but before she does, I wanted to explain, and I'm not trying to sell you stuff, but I really feel like sometimes people don't know what's in a package, right? Do you ever see something in the store and you go, is that going to be icky or is that going to be good? Well, we don't just have to buy it to find out. The one I want to talk about two things. One is something that the Lord led me to do. I love communion with him. And I don't mean I love communion, but what I love more is when he and I have those moments where time stops and maybe an hour goes by or maybe 2 hours or maybe 5 minutes, but something happens where I'm changed and my mind is changed and my spirit is filled with something, I almost want to say, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And everything should come from that place. And for many years, I didn't know how to say, it's hard to describe, because it's not something you can calculate with your head, okay? And as a matter of fact, sometimes to go there, you have to bypass your head. So if you're a thinker, sometimes you have to say, mind, you're a good mind, I love you and respect you, but you be quiet. Because sometimes God gives you something that we cannot understand, and he gives it to us in our spirit, and then it bubbles up and we go, oh, now I get it. So sometimes to go deep with him, you have to trust him enough to let go of your thoughts for just a moment. Don't misunderstand me. Your mind is good. It was made for studying. That's a good thing. But there are times when you're going to take a shower, you take off your clothes to get in the shower. But you don't want to do that in public, right? Well, your mind, it's a good thing. But when you're with the Lord, you need to just sometimes just go with him. So I made this. It's two sessions. It's called Communion with God. And it's some of the things that I do to enter in, so that I can meet with him spirit to spirit and heart to heart. And I can, that's where, by the way, the mind of Christ is. It's in the spirit. It's not in your head, or you'd never have a bad thought. It's in your spirit, man, and when you connect there, suddenly you know a whole lot of stuff you didn't know before. Okay, so that's communion with God. And this is for, if anyone in here, if you are struggling with winning over the enemy, it may be because you haven't, there's some things hidden in the Word of God that give us so much complete authority over every devil that there is, but we haven't always understood it. So this goes into great detail. I believe it's four sessions. It was taught at a seminar. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And when you get done with this, you'll know how to beat him up, and not just hit him and then walk away where he can come back for you, but take him out, okay? That's called victorious in battle. Amen. So now I'm going to have Lori come up and let her rip.
So one thing I like to do before I start is pull up my pants, and I didn't do it before I got on my chair, so pardon me while I reposition myself. Okay. So I was praying. I've been praying a lot for everybody here and the ones that are still coming. I want everyone to receive everything Jesus died for us to walk in. And I see blinders on people's eyes because, hey, can we turn that thing down by chance? I feel like I'm being a turbo jet. Yeah. What? No touchy? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I command you to lower. That's a fake wind if I ever felt one. Anyway, that could preach too, but we won't go there yet. Okay, so I am believing for everybody to receive everything that Jesus died for them to have. But like I said, I'm seeing blinders. And as I was praying on this, I'm starting to see like gentle salve on the eyes. And could that be true? You know, really? Me? But what about all this baggage that I'm walking out of? And I actually hear the Lord cheering you on. He's encouraging you to faint not, because there is victory in his name, and you wear his name. You wear his garment. You're his beloved. And so there is no enemy that can stop you, but there is a mindset that may delay you. And that mindset is between you and the doorway to the blessings of God. And as I was walking this out myself, and I'm still walking it out, when I was praying today for this session, I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about Proverbs 3. And, that was tattooed all over me. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that verse in the Bible is like cement in my bones, because I had to walk it out. And what I mean by that is, I'm actually going to read it from the Passion Translation, which I never thought I'd be reading out of publicly. But something happened to me because of an act of obedience. I was in the, we just came from the retreat at the Hideaway, which was Colorado Springs, not the Hideaway. We were hidden in God, okay? And it was a major download from Father. And Steph and Janet were teaching dreams, and I like going to those because it's so interesting to see where people are in the walk and how God is trying to get us to come into his arms. And he'll send dream after dream and billboard after billboard and the word and testimonies. But yet sometimes we fall in delay. And so I'm sitting in there listening to them, and Steph starts off, you know, she likes to read the word first, and I'm thinking, hallelujah, I'm here for dreams. You know, crack it, get going. That was my flesh, okay? But as I sat in the chair, I started to get immersed in the word. They were reading the word out loud, and something happened to me. And I can't really give it English words, but it was a setup by God. And just by one simple act of obedience, of telling my flesh to shut up and pay attention and receive, something happened. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit because it's still unfolding. But as they were reading the word, a hunger hit me so deep. I was so thirsty for fresh word. And I was, you know, I'm like, I've been like this before, but this is different. And it's not like I'm dry and barren. It's like I could feel the pull in the Spirit to go deeper in his word. And as they're talking and releasing the word and praying, I'm having my own experience in God. And I couldn't even tell you what they were reading. It was like as though a window opened, a shade came up, I stepped through a doorway. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I must go get the Passion. Now, my mind is like, you have it at home. I'm like, I have to go get it, and I have to go get it right now. But I didn't want to get up because I didn't want to miss what was going on, but there was this going on. And so I've learned to let it rip. If God's doing something, just obey, even if you look stupid. And I've looked stupid plenty of times. And I just got up and I went to the bookstore. Now it's not even open, but the door's not locked. I go in there and the Holy Spirit directs me to the Passion. And of course it was giant print, thank you. And I picked it up and I grabbed Genesis also. And I set it down on the corner because I hadn't paid for it yet. And so I set it off to the side. And by that act of obedience, OMG, let me just tell you, I go back into the room and they're, you know, I catch up to the dreams. I think they're in dreams now. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, I am just craving the word. It's like, I can't get enough of it. And so I couldn't wait, because I didn't have my glasses with me at the retreat. I couldn't wait to get in my car and find my glasses and lock away with the word. And a couple things. One, I've been asking the Lord questions. He's been talking to me about the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and I wasn't catching something, but I'm trying, I don't get it, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. As soon as I started, because that's the first book I went to when I started reading, because that's where I'm at right now with him, and as soon as I opened it, the revelation just pow, overtook me, and it was like, I would sit with him, and you ever eat a really fine meal and you just can't take another bite, or you'll burst? That's how I felt in the spirit. It was like, I'm. This is so meaty, and this is wow. And I'm like, on the inside, because it's a spirit-to-spirit connection with the Word of God. And as I'm reading this, the questions are just being answered. And then there's more questions, and we're having this dialogue, and he's opening up this realm of understanding that's always there. But because I got up in the middle of a meeting and walked and did what he told me to do, which is an act of obedience, it brought forth something new and exciting. I wake up, I gotta read it. I go to bed, I can't wait to go to bed at night and read it. I'm thinking about it all day during the day. Something opened just by that one act of obedience. And so I'm telling you, always, 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 obedience brings a blessing, and we never know what that blessing will look like. And if we think we're gonna figure it out, we just capped it with our own knowledge. And so I'm studying, I'm enjoying it after the retreat. And I'm at this campground, and I can hear Christian music playing, and there's a little tent revival going on, and I'm like, you know, and Shimei, finally, we go there, and the guy's preaching in the book of Revelation about the seven churches, and it's like word for word what the Lord had just told me, you know, the night before. And so I'm saying that because a couple things. One, we're in a time where we've got to break from the crust and rust of the, you know, we've all been through it, huh? You ever have a disappointment? You ever have something that doesn't go right? How about today? You know what I'm talking about? You know, but we keep showing up. We keep doing what the Lord calls us to do. We keep trying to fellowship or find our place in the secret place, and we just, here I am again, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Here I am again, Lord, I don't understand what to do, but here I am, help me. And those are prayers or cries of the heart that actually bring forth victory. Because he's not after how much we know or if we can title the chapter and verse out of a book in the Bible, although that's great because it's a good weapon, or it could be a could be a sword. But what he's after is, are you mine? Do I know you? And so as I've been studying and seeking him, you know, I have a lot of friends that go to churches, and I'm not against churches, but I am against buildings that pretend to know God and call on the name of God and crush people. And I didn't know we were going here, but we're going here. You know, I had a dream the other night, and, you know, it was after the retreat, I think it was, and in the dream, I went to go visit my old church, and I didn't know anybody there. All the old people had left. And my kids were supposed to come, I have two kids, and one was there, but he was working on like a four-wheeler or dirt bike in the back of the church. And the other one, she didn't come, and I was mad because she didn't come. And I'm like, Lord, what is this about? And he's like, well, your daughter has discernment, and I'm not there. She's not there, so don't get mad at her because she's not there. I'm not there. It's a program. And we have, for too long, gotten away with the program. And counterfeit, and we're in a season in God where we must know real from the counterfeit. And if you were raised up in a counterfeit, I'm praying for an encounter with the living God, because it'll rock your world, it'll change you, and it'll shake you upside down and bring you to your face, crying out for his name and realizing how real he is and that everything else is a counterfeit. You been there? Have you had that encounter with him? Most of you have. Some of you are just nice church people who were raised up in a good godly family. Bless you. The rest of us had to make it hard on the streets and find our way out of bondage. Bless you. Here's the cool thing. It doesn't matter what side of the street you came from. There's one road. There's one road. And it's the glory road in him, knowing him. And along the way, our past tries to create our future. But it cannot unless we allow it. And so sometimes people take on the mentality of a victim. You know, has anybody in here had a bad thing happen to them? Some of it's been really bad, hasn't it? Heart-wrenching. But if you stay there, you are missing the fullness of God and agreeing with the enemy of bondage. There's always choice. And sometimes we can't recognize the choice. So right now, I pray for clarity of your mind. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to open up and show you truth, to show you that you are not a victim, that Jesus conquered the grave, and that the resurrection power that Jesus released lives inside of you. And I command you right now to come up out of that grave. Be ye separated. Come up out of the grave from that tormenting spirit, that foul devil that's trying to keep you in bondage and darkness and brokenness and whispering in your ear, telling you, you're no good. You can't have what they have. I break those lies right now, and I release the blessing of the Lord upon your mind to shake through every ounce of your being to set you free in Jesus' name. Come out of that. Come out of that. While we're there, I saw a spirit of bulimia when we were in worship tonight. I call that foul devil out, and I break his power over your digestive system and your mind and the controlling, ruling spirit behind it. I break your spirit with the blood of the Lamb. I command that to decease and leave right now in the name of Jesus. You will eat normal now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So you didn't receive that because you didn't know it was you. Well, right now, I love when he does this. You were crying out 3 days ago to be changed, that you knew that this was not right. 3 days ago, we were sitting, you were actually in front of your toilet, regurgitating out something that you ate. And I'm telling you right now, that word's for you. And I break that lion spirit and I command an opening. Eyes see, ears hear. I command the bondage and the heaviness to lift off right now. See. See the goodness of God. See the goodness of God. Come forth right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So the book of Proverbs, I'm gonna read a little bit out of there, because when I was young in the Lord, I didn't know that I could trust him. You know, and I love that song that played. I'm like, you know, I love that song on trusting the Lord, because if we can get the revelation that he really does have our best interest, a lot of the battle will go away, truthfully. And so, you know, my old Bible used to have my name in it. I scratched out my child and put Lori. And I'm just going to read this out of the Passion. My child, and that's where you put your name, if you truly want a long and satisfying life, never forget the things that I've taught you. Follow closely every truth that I've given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go. And be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let's talk about loyal love. See, oftentimes we hold on to the counterfeit of the love of the flesh that has actually caused us delay because of the hurt attached to it, or the disappointment or brokenness attached to it. But loyal love, there's nothing greater than him. And be faithful to all that you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity. With truth written upon your heart, that's how you will find favor and understanding with both God and men. You will gain the reputation of living life well. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Here's the key. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every decision of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. So, when I was young and foolish, I really struggled with how do you trust a God you can't see? You been there? How do you trust a God when you're believing for something and something else happens? You been there? How do you trust God when a prophecy's been released and you know it was God speaking and it didn't come forth? You been there? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The problem that happened to me is I'd start to debate in my mind. I don't see this, so therefore it must not be true. So I agree with the seed of an enemy, you know, a little fiery dart, because that's the enemy's job, is to throw a dart, seed, dart. Did God really say, no, you swore last night? No, you don't get that promise. See, Jesus purchased us with his blood. And when those darts start to fly, apply the blood. Apply his blood. The devil cannot stand against a fiery dart when we release the word of truth in faith. Have you ever released a word of truth and, well, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief? The word says this, so I'm going to speak it. By his stripes I was healed, but yet I'm still limping and dragging my leg. You ever have an injury that didn't recover as you thought it should? Faint not, my friends, because Jesus has created you in his image, and you have the resurrection power. You have victory over all things. One of the things I learned is I don't get caught up in why didn't this work? I don't see it yet, or it must not be for me. His word says, by his stripes we were healed. End of sentence. I've had many injuries in my life, and I've had instant healing, miraculous healing, and delayed healing. I'll take them all. I take them all. And when we roll the tapes in heaven, I'll be like, oh, that was the issue behind it. I really had unbelief in my heart that I didn't even know. I could have had it instantly. Or I got busy. Or I just got uninterested. I accepted it. It's part of the package. I'll never forget one of the first times that God healed a physical malady in my body. And I had been believing for healing. I shattered my lower leg and in a snowmobile accident. And I walked like this for a long time. And I had the heavy hitters pray for me. I had the no hitters pray for me. And I prayed for me. And I still was in pain. And some of the things people would say to me is, well, you must have sin in your life. And I'd be like, oh, do I have sin in my life? You know, is that why I didn't get healed? I didn't know the word. It's a miracle I got healed. But I know him. And I'm one of those backwards people. I heard him before I read the word. He captured my heart through relationship and then told me it's time to grow in the word. And so I had to. And the word is more true, it's more sure than a prophecy or a vision or anything. The word is created life, and that is what I hold to. I hold to the word of God. And I'll never forget it. This was many, many years ago, and I'd had many surgeries, and I had pins and wires and all that crazy stuff and lots of drugs. And one day, I'm with the youth group. And, oh no, I wasn't. I was at the youth group that time too, but I was at a conference, and it was just a conference, and I wasn't even believing God for healing because it had gone on so long. You ever have it go on so long, you think, oh, well, I'm going to limp the rest of my life. I don't know why, but I'll just, you know, give me another set of crutches or whatever. I don't know. But one night, I'll never forget this, I was admiring this young kid. I was drawn to the young kids because they were so raw. You know, old people in church always seem to have masks on and act like their life was perfect. And I'd be like, really? You don't see that demon on your shoulder? Really? You don't see that chain on your leg? You know, really? And so I had a trust issue because what people said was not true. And so as I'll never forget this. It was a big conference, and I'm sitting way in the back on the aisle in case I want to get out of there. And I was watching this young girl. She was jumping up in the front like a bunny, just jumping and worshiping Jesus. And I wasn't like staring at her. I was caught up in the pure of heart. You know, she didn't care who was looking. She was in love with her Creator, and she was worshiping and fellowshipping Him. And something about that just struck me. And I was watched in the pureness of heart in her, and the Lord said to me, if you go up there and worship me, I will heal you. And I thought, I'm shy. I don't want to go. Not to the front. But I also thought, oh, really? Could it be? Could it be? And something just happened, and I just ended up dragging my leg up to the front. And as soon as I got up there, and I stood right next to her, and I was watching her. And I was like, and I couldn't do that in the natural, because it was fused. And all of a sudden, I just took off, and it wasn't like I was trying to imitate her. It was like I sprung into heaven, and it was just like, it was a moment, and I was like, ah, you know, and I didn't even know my ankle loosed, because my heart loosed first. You know, it was like, whoa, and I jumped up and down all night long. And I testified, and my friends said, oh my gosh, you're walking normal, you know, and I couldn't even go to the mailbox. I'm not kidding. It was, everything was painful. Everything was painful. Well, I got home that night, and you can't sleep when a creative miracle happens. You cannot sleep. You have to testify of His goodness. And I'm like, my husband was already in bed, and when he got up in the morning, he always got up first, he was eating a bowl of cereal, and I'm like, God healed me last night. He healed my leg. He's like, that's nice, honey. You know, because he didn't believe it. Why should he believe it? Because it was a supernatural law that manifested into the earth. He has never seen anything like that. I'd seen it. I was raised in Edgar and Holly's ministry. I saw healings take place. I saw all kinds of miracles. I got healed in some of those meetings. And so I got healed of asthma in one of those meetings. And so I'm like, you know, I got my jogging suit on, you know, I'm going running. And so, because it was probably, I don't know, I don't keep track of time, at least 6 months, a year maybe I was like that, I don't know. It was a long time. And I laced up my shoes, and I lived on, I had a long, long, long driveway. I don't know how many acres it was, but I took off running. And you know what? I wasn't tired, I wasn't weary, and it wasn't like I was just, you know, a couch potato. It was like the supernatural power of God surged through me, and I'm running. And I'd never been a runner in my whole life, except for, you know, running from the law. you hide. Many, many years ago, been redeemed. And so, so I take off running, but here's the really cool thing. Every day, I couldn't wait to get up and go for a walk. I started, when I was running, I couldn't think. I would just be like worshiping Him and being so thankful, but He was talking to me. So I would go for these long walks, and what He was doing was He was pulling out the dross in me, the shyness, the issues, and I'd be walking down this, they're country roads in our Wisconsin, so they're like highways, but they're country, so they're not like busy like a city, but they do have traffic. He would make me wave to every person that went by. He was breaking me of the shyness. He was pulling me out of bondage, of the chains that held me back, because He knew my future. I wasn't meant to be shy, broken, bound. I was meant to be alive in him and to testify of his goodness and that it's available for all of us. No one's special. We're all special. Whoever pushes or pulls or takes the blessings of the Lord gets them. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't want your blessings that he's released for you, I'm taking them. Because I don't want one precious drop of his blood to go to waste ever. And I wasted too many years not knowing. And so when words are released, and there will be words released tonight, I'm going to take them if you don't take them. So beat me to the punch and take them. And here's the cool thing. When they're released, they're alive, so they don't just fall to the ground. They're alive, hanging in the spirit. Sometimes I see them go in like bullets, and sometimes I see them like there's like a block, and they can't get in. And I pray, Lord, help them open and receive. And they're like, you know, they don't want it because they're afraid of his goodness. They've been hurt too much. And so one of my prayers for everybody in here is to receive, even if you don't know, I don't trust that. Is it of Lord? Ask, is this of you, Lord? If it is, I'll take it. If it's not, I don't want it. We have to start recognizing what's from the Lord and what's just a feel-good message to puff you up and tickle those ears. So, I'm walking, talking. I'd go for miles and have these wonderful talks with him. I learned so much during that season, so much. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. It was probably the hardest time of my life, leading up to the hardest time of my life, but I had established a relationship, and then he was working on trust. So first there's a relationship, then there's trust, in my case. And so, if the situation looked bad and scary and like it was never going to work out, I'd be like, Lord, what do you say about this? And he would tell me, it's okay. But as I was working it out, now he's my best friend, and I know, lean not on your own understanding. I'll fall back, and he's got me. He always has, always will. You know how they do that fake stuff? Oh, with your partner, hey, lean back. Listen, I have fallen, I have tripped, I have stumbled, and he's always caught me, always. He's always saves me, always, always. I've had some major weird stuff happen, and he's there, ahead of it, just watching and waiting for me to call on his name. Jesus, help! And he does. He's my rescuer. He's my best friend. He's my beloved. I could go on and on and on, but I want to talk about trust. So as we are working out, as I see in here, there's people in here, you've been through some hard times and you're going through some hard times, and you're like, how does this work? Well, I'll tell you the way it doesn't work. I bought the mug, trust God, drink coffee every day, trusting God, learning how to trust God. I sang the songs about trusting God, and I wore the t-shirt, trust God. I got the bumper sticker, trust God, and none of it worked, but I was on my way. I did what I could to find him. And now, every attempt and false attempt, did it bring me closer to him? Absolutely, because my heart was right, and that's what it takes. It takes the heart to be right. You know, my kids, I used to have a saying, which should have been a clue, who knows best? Me. You know, when my kids would get in trouble, I'd say, who knows best? And they'd be like, oh, Mom, it's not you. You know, and I'd be like, yes, it is, yes, it is. But and so that was in my soul that I knew best. You know, I thought I really did know best. I thought I really did know how to protect myself and my family. But truthfully, it was the grace of God all along. And I didn't even recognize his goodness. I was blind to his goodness. And some of you are blind to his goodness because you're in a trial right now. And you're trying to figure out how to just get through a little faster because you feel like you're in delay and it's hurting. I want to tell you something. Those moments are so treasurable to me, so magnificent. When you're being squeezed in the wine press, when you cry out, Lord, change me in your image, I'll do whatever you say, I'll go wherever you tell me to go, do you think it's just a push of a button? It's not. It's not. It's every cell in your body changing to host his glory. Because we can't touch his glory. We can't touch what he's doing. We steward it. You ever hear someone who's releasing a prophetic word and it's like, it's the Lord, and then all of a sudden, wait a second, what happened? They're adding their own flesh to it. We see it all the time. And as you're growing and learning, we should be asking, is this really the Lord? Hey, did that bear witness? Did that mean anything to you? Nothing. You get the liars too. They don't want their stuff known, even though God's speaking and they're saying, help me, Jesus, I don't know what to do. And then when somebody says it, they're like, but then they go home. And then the Lord massages their heart to help that seed. And then they're like, oh, that was you. And then we never hear from again, but that's okay too. Because God is growing us all up. He's trying to get us to understand the authority that was released at the throne from resurrection power, and he's calling us. There's a season right now. We've never been in this season before, and I'm not smart enough to figure out what part of the season we're in, but it's a birthing season of his glory manifesting into the earth, spilling out into the streets. I don't know how it's going to look, but he's looking for holy vessels, consecrated, set apart for his good pleasure, not for some it's all about me. Churches are going to be exposed. All of us are being exposed because he's shining the holy spotlight on our hearts. And do we get it perfect? Nope. But if we keep saying, here I am again, Lord, help me with this. I think there's an issue here. I don't even know the issue, but I know you do. Will you help me expose this and then heal me of it? Set me free so I never have to deal with this junk again. I want to be pure. I want to be in love with you. Teach me how to love. Teach me what that means. You know, I came from a family where we loved each other, but it wasn't, you know, mushy, gooey stuff. It was, if you did your chores, that meant you loved your mom and dad. If you didn't, you were rebellious and you didn't love them. And so I was on a reward system. I got a quarter for doing this, a nickel for doing that. I'm old. Sometimes we get a can of pop. You know, if we did something real big, we got to pick a soda out of the cabinet. Can you think that far back, you guys? When pop wasn't an everyday drink? You know, how far have we come in civilization, which really is backwards? You know, it's really been designed to pull us away from his provision and his protection. And so for me, I had to learn love because I didn't know it. I only knew it from a human perspective, and it wasn't that great. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. And I remember asking Jesus, will you teach me how to love like you do? You know, I couldn't even cry. That's how messed up I was. I had no emotions but anger. That was my emotion. And slowly he set me free. And what, you know, my heart's cry is to be pure and holy, not to be seen by man, but to be in love with him and worship him and just be with him. And then if he uses me to do anything, to carry a suitcase, to clean a toilet, let it be for his glory, not for people to see what I'm doing. It's never about being seen of man. And somehow that got messed up with what ministry is, or ministering to people. It's not about us. My provider is the Lord Jesus Christ. My Father in earth, who I love, can't compare to my Heavenly Father. I don't even compare them because he's so great and vast, and he's always there for me. My earthly dad wasn't. He worked all the time. But my Heavenly Father, if I just catch a glimpse or a gaze towards him, there's like a connection of oneness and fellowship, and I just like to crawl up in his lap and just be held by him. You know, I'll never forget when I first fell in love. I'm one of those people that I can rule the world from my bed. Some people have to sit at a desk. I like to work in my bed with a pillow and a computer and stuff. So I've had a lot of bedtime, and I don't mean that in a weird way, but I just like a bed. It's comfy, it's soft, you can stretch out. You know, I get word studies going on there and books. I could live there a week, you know. and I'll never forget, you know, I was just communing, and when it opened, you know, because you keep knocking, the door eventually opens if you faint not. It's about faint not. And I'll never forget when I fell in to his presence. I don't know if I just kept knocking too hard or what, you know, but I fell in and fell in love because I encountered him in such an intimate way, and it was different than the old ways, you know, because it's ever-increasing, ever-growing in oneness in him. And I'll never forget it. I stayed, I think, 3 days, and I just didn't want to get up because it was like, whoa, this is incredible. You're wonderful. And I'll never forget when he said, you got to get up. And I'm like, but I don't want to get up. And I felt like a little bird in a nest, you know, and I felt like the mother was, go get your own, you got, and I'm like, but why can't I stay here forever? This is so wonderful. Who would want to leave this place? And he said this to me. He said, come and go, come and go. I'm like, oh, okay, and release what I give you. I'm like, oh, okay. And so what happens is sometimes we fall in love or we get a glimpse of his goodness and we share it with others, but we forget to come back to the nest. It happens. It happens often. It's easy to get caught up in distraction. But right now, I feel like there's people that have been caught up in his presence and just in love with him, but a little old, a little tired, a little rusty, a little corroded, a little, maybe this is it. This, maybe I missed it. Maybe I can't go back into that doorway. Well, listen. Knock on his door right now. Everybody close your eyes. I hear him saying, fear not, little one. Now I see him wooing us. I see him calling us into intimacy. All it requires is a knock, and he opens the door. You don't even have to open the door. Here I am again, Lord. Just take a minute. Catch his gaze. Don't focus on the arrows. Doubt, unbelief, go. Let the love of God consummate your heart. That's what I hear him saying. This time on this day is marked is an entry point into the goodness of God. Now, some of you are going to keep pulling and staying in. We could go all day. But I know some of you have entered his presence for the very first time. You've tasted and seen the goodness of God. And for others, there was a little bit of a struggle. Don't get caught up in condemnation. Say, Lord, I'm going to knock until the door opens. Because your word says, seek me. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find him. That's a truth in the word that you can pull from. Now, it's interesting in the room, there's a lot going on. There's some that are like so caught up in God that you're not going to come back, and I don't want you to stay, because what the Lord is doing is more important than this message. But for the message of the ones that are hearing right now, little ones, I have more for you. I adore you, and I want oneness with you. I am pulling you into me. I'm going to show you the way of the walk of the Spirit. I'm going to show you the way of intimacy with the Father. I'm going to show you the promises that I have breathed over you, over your life. Don't quit. Don't quit. Surrender your agenda. Surrender your ways of thinking to the Father and let him mold you and reposition you into his image, because you are his beloved. He is in love with you. He doesn't see the sin, the brokenness. He sees the wholeness of who you are, who he created you to be, spotless. He sees you spirit to spirit. And as you fellowship spirit to spirit, the fragrance of heaven lingers on you, cleans you, washes you, strengthens you, nourishes you, and helps you stand strong in the earth as an ambassador for Jesus Christ.